This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net. Okay, I'm here with Dr. Hayley Gomez from Cardiff University. Welcome to the Jodcast.
Thank you.
So you work on dusting galaxies. Could you tell us about your research?
Well, I use the Herschel Space Observatory, which is the largest telescope flown into space, and it's quite a special camera because it's a far infrared and sub-millimeter camera, so it detects light that our eyes can't see. And it's really great because actually there's a lot of dust out there in the universe, and the dust blocks our visible light from our eyes and our telescopes, but we can recover that light using something like Herschel that's sensitive to the light from dust. So I'm actually really interested in where dust comes from, so where it's created, how it goes from something in the gas to being a solid particle, which is what we mean by cosmic dust, and also converting that to really big surveys with Herschel, where you get lots and lots of galaxies which have lots of dust in them, and trying to figure out what the dust tells you about how those galaxies change with time.
So when we say dust, is this the same kind of dust as you get on Earth, or is it different?
That's a really good question. It's not the same dust that we get on Earth, which is quite nice, because the dust we get on Earth is really gross. But what we're talking about is dust in space. So all we really mean is we're talking about solid particles, and most of these particles are about the same size of a smoke particle, actually, a few microns across. So you're talking about things that are made of carbon, iron, glassy materials, sometimes gems, you know, like diamonds, which is quite nice. And you've got all these solid particles, and they form out of the gas, a bit like snowflakes form out of the water vapour in our atmosphere, and then they get chucked into the galaxies. And so they get formed somewhere, they get chucked into galaxies. And the thing that's really crazy about dust is it's not very much when you look at the size of it. So again, it's kind of micron size, smoke size particles, but it makes a big difference to the way we view the universe. It blocks at least half of all the light in the universe, actually. All the light from stars and galaxies is blocked by dust grains, so it changes our view, hides half the universe from us. But it also is very important in helping stars to form, and without it we wouldn't see molecular hydrogen in galaxies. So it actually may even be crucial for water in the space between stars and galaxies. So we're talking about very small rocky things, and a big lump of dust could be the Earth, actually. So the Earth is just a huge lump of dust. We're actually bits of dust. If we were just floating in space, we'd be considered dust. And so that's kind of what dust is. And it's tiny, tiny fraction of the mass of a galaxy, but makes such a big difference in terms of the change of a galaxy and the evolution of stars and possibly even the building blocks of life as well.
So do we find dust in all kinds of galaxies?
Well, the quick answer is no. But it's actually something that's really quite a big question in the infra community, and it's fair to say that we're behind the optical astronomers. Optical astronomers have had 400 years of using telescopes to look at the starlight from galaxies, but when you're looking in the infrared, you're looking at the light from the dust, the hidden starlight that's been reprocessed by dust. We've really only been able to do that since the late 90s, and that's because the instrumentation and the technology just hasn't been there. And we have to go to space, which makes it very expensive because of our own atmosphere. But what we do know is that if you ask that question now with the telescopes we have, like Herschel, we're able to say, no, spiral galaxies like the Milky Way, they have stars forming in them, they're kind of slightly more active. Our Milky Way is forming one star a year, and it has spiral arms. Those galaxies have dust, and actually a lot more dust than we can explain, in fact. But when you look at galaxies that we call ellipticals, so they have no spiral arms, they're elliptical in shape, and they're kind of dead systems. They don't have much gas in them, and there really seems to be a dearth of dust. So there's something in those galaxies that's effectively got rid of all the dust in them, whereas in spiral galaxies we do see a lot of dust.
Can you just explain a bit about the actual physical process then of how the dust emits this infrared light? You said it's reprocessed starlight.
That's right. So you have starlight, say, and then you put a little bit of dust in the way, so a little bit of carbon or maybe graphite, and this dust grain absorbs that starlight. So it just absorbs it. It's the perfect size to absorb the light. And it heats up, it then cools down, and it re-radiates that light at longer wavelengths. So it really is stealing the optical light from our optical telescopes, absorbing it, and then re-emitting it at, or re-radiating that at longer wavelengths.
And can we talk a bit about Herschel? So how has Herschel changed things? How many galaxies are we seeing, things like that?
Well, Herschel is a huge leap in our observational understanding of the universe. We've gone from only seeing, in fact, since the late 90s, we've gone from only seeing at most 100 objects, and that actually sounds quite a lot, but there are a lot of galaxies in the universe. If you compare that to the Hubble data, where you've got hundreds of thousands and millions of them, it's quite embarrassing that in this regime we've only been looking at hundreds of galaxies, and they've always tended to be very bright or very rare objects, really kind of targeted, and they're not representative of what's actually out there. As an example, the SCUBA instrument, which was our best, you know, state-of-the-art instrument when I started my PhD, I won't say when that was, and that actually saw, in 51 hours of the best weather you can imagine from Mauna Kea in Hawaii, it saw at best three dusty galaxies, 51 hours of observational time. Herschel, in 16 hours, detects more than 7,000.
Wow.
So it's a huge leap in terms of numbers. The Herschel Atlas and the Hermes surveys, which are two big projects on Herschel, will end up getting hundreds of thousands of these dusty galaxies. Galaxies that you might not actually see in any other wavelength because they have so much dust, they're just obscuring all the starlight. And we're actually starting to see that infrared galaxies are actually kind of normal. There's some that are really big and bright, and there's some that are really faint, but on the whole, they're normal, and we've never had that capability before.
Well, that all sounds really interesting. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Woohoo!